Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. Oh. Not like those. Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse, now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back, Hour 2. If you missed anything from Hour 1, podcast available at 1080thefan.com. Brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Will, did you know that you can listen to this on your smartphone?
Oh, yeah, dude. I use my smartphone for everything.
Yeah, radio.com app.
Nice.
You can also listen to it on a smart speaker. You just tell it to play 1080 The Fan.
That's right.
Yep.
You say, hey, Alexa.
Well,
make me feel good.
What if you have Google?
What? You say, hey, Google.
Oh. Sounds like a whole different thing. So just tell your smart speaker to play. Whatever your smart speaker's name is.
What's your favorite smart speaker to use?
I don't use smart speakers.
Why not?
Lazy.
So the thing that could make you more lazy, you're too lazy to use.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's irony, but...
Maybe. The difficulty of making a decision on which smart speaker to buy has overwhelmed me. And so I just choose not to partake. No,
you're like one of those people from an infomercial who can't like do the simple things where they're like, is it too hard for you to pick a Tupperware?
I'm the black and white guy.
I don't know.
You know what? My wife has trouble with the lids. She'll just like rubber band the wrong lid onto like the whatever container. She's like, I already filled it up and it doesn't quite fit. So she'll just rest it, like put the sour cream on top of it so it holds it like closed in the fridge. She is... that person.
Are you spending large amounts of time trying to figure out which lid to put on your Tupperware? And it's your wife like holding up two different ones. And no. She's like,
She doesn't do that. She gives up very quickly. She's just like, and then you grab something out of the fridge and everything spills out everywhere because it's, you know, jankily balanced in there.
So she's the other one because there's a whole set.
Oh, yeah. She's in the
infomercial actors where it's like, she's the one where it's like she picks it up once and then picking it up exhausted her so much, she puts it down like, oh.
No, she's the one that like tries to cram it onto the, like, this doesn't fit. This doesn't fit. Then she gives up and just puts it under a rock. She grabs a rock out of the garden and piles it up on top of there. Yeah, that's.
What?
She gets something heavy to hold the lid onto it.
She gets a rock out of the garden?
I don't know. Whatever's close by. Anyways, the reason I don't have a smart speaker is my mom got an Alexa.
Yeah.
And then introduced it to my 3-year-old twins.
Yeah.
And so they just start yelling at the world. Hey, Alexa. Hey, Alexa. Play Cat Flush in a Toilet. Hey, Alexa. Play Baby Shark. Hey, Alexa. Play Who Let the Dogs Out? And that's what their voices sound like. They sound like
an
adult
just
male.
Like that, yeah.
But I was like, oh, I'm never getting one of those. Because they just walk around. Like they'll be in the car on the way home from grandma's house yelling at Alexa to start playing their favorite songs. I'm like, doesn't work that way. So then they yell at me, and I'm like, that's not the tone you take to get the things you want. But that's how grandma sounds when she gets the things she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
See, you don't understand kids.
Oh, really?
You don't understand the young
people. Please, no. I understand the very young people, I guess, better than you.
You don't get that generation. You just don't. They need things right now.
Are they part of the, I seen a name for the new generation. Are they part of the Zoomer generation? Zoomer? For Gen Zs?
Zoomer?
Zoomers. Yeah, you have the Boomers and the Zoomers.
What?
I seen them refer to
I've
that.
I've never heard of that.
I just heard of it.
Where?
Like, I didn't reference it.
That's all right. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's trying to catch on.
just think you're
made
trying to make
his
it.
Head.
See, no, I see. Saw you're trying to do what I did in college. I tried to make the word wet into something that's cool.
Gross.
Saying that's wet.
And how'd that work?
It did not work.
Yeah.
And now, it had some bad results.
Zoomers has more legs than wet.
No way, dude. No way. Let me tell you something, man. This hot dog right here, straight wet.
Straight wet.
It's sick.
Then you put too much ketchup on
sick.
It. Yeah. If the bun is wet, that's a bad thing.
This bun is so wet.
So Gen Z is the current coming of age generation, yes? Are my 3-year-olds part of that?
When were they born?
They were born in 2016.
They might be something else.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I think
so
everything
you don't
after,
get them, buddy.
Everything after 96 or 7 is Gen Z, but I don't know when the cutoff is. Yeah. Usually decades. I think it's like 12 years.
I don't know. I don't know what it is either. Some people say it's 20 years because there are some
it's
who would call me a millennial and some who do not. It depends on what you look at on the interwebs. But yeah,
you're not a millennial.
I'm definitely
you're not
the oldest millennial.
But you're just not.
No, that's,
you're Gen Z.
That's fine. And you know what? I'm probably in the position where there are people that were born the same year I was that are millennials. There's people probably born before me that are millennials that take on those ideals. I'm just not one of those people.
You an Xer, bruh?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what the defining trait is. I did find out that I'm no longer a Cancer, which trips me out. Apparently, I'm a Gemini now.
Oh.
Did you hear all this, garbly gook? They threw in a new horoscope.
Oh, really? What is it?
I don't know. Eucalyptus or something? I don't know what it is. It's Socrates. Scholasticuses.
Are you just saying
octopus?
Words?
Yeah. I think it starts with an O.
Is it between? Is it supposed to be like? Did they put it in between? It's Gemini and Cancer.
No,
or?
No. So I'm not. I'm not the new one. So, Jen Ellis, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the program. She cannot resist.
I'm also a Gemini, so welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I found this out. I was filling in. Souk was out. Souk is constantly taking golf trips now. There was some sort of Freaky Friday thing that happened between Isaac and Souk. So I was filling in with Isaac, and both he and Mike declared that they were no longer Cancers, which led to the discovery that I am no longer a Cancer. My birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, for my whole life, I was a Cancer. At some point in the last year, I guess, they threw in a new horoscope that falls somewhere end of November, beginning of December. I looked at it that day. Is it
Ophicus?
Yeah, obviously. So it encompasses both my niece and both of my parents. Orifice? No. So yeah, they are both Oculus Primes, and my daughters just missed the cutoff for that. So yeah, this whole new horoscope was just thrown in there. But then they had to shift everything else to make room. So yeah, when they shifted, no longer a Cancer.
So I'm now, still a Pisces.
Well, good for you. So what's it like being a Gemini? What do I need to look forward to?
Split personality.
Jeez, oh,
every single
right.
person you'll meet will say, "Oh my God, I've never liked a Gemini until I met you."
Yeah. 503-250-1080. Somebody says, "Luke, my twins are 5. Sorry to tell you, it ain't getting any better." Not saying it's bad. I just keep technology away from them. They don't need an Alexa in their house. Here you go, Dexter. Do you have an Alexa in your house? Mm-hmm. That seems like a bad idea with 2 5-year-olds running around.
I think you need to embrace technology.
I don't think I do. I'm doing pretty well so far.
It's going to catch up to you.
You're
going to be like that old man in Up.
I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
That guy got a movie made about him. You getting a movie made about you, buddy?
I don't think the movie was about him.
If I get old and crotchety enough, if I get old and crotchety enough, they'll make a movie about me. It sounds good. Clint Eastwood will still be alive. He could play me.
That's true. And you could talk to a chair with no one in it in front of a massive group of people.
I'll be doing that before no long, no time anyway, so that's all good.
Is there anybody more than him where you, like, secretly found out he's kind of an a-hole?
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson was bad.
Mel Gibson came out of nowhere because I was like, this guy's kind of likable. And you're like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. Oh. How about Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby was Dr. Huxtable. Everybody invited him into their living rooms and was like, hey, it's America's dad. And then,
Let me put a caveat on that.
Go ahead.
Somebody who didn't do something that put them in prison or the idea to get them in prison.
Yeah, well, Mel Gibson.
It's just something where it's like their opinions just suck and you're like,
Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, Kurt Schilling.
His buddy sock guy and you're like, oh, this guy's a fighter. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, well, I guess this goes against it, but apparently that guy from that 70s show.
Yeah.
He's accused now. Yeah.
Which one?
Danny Masterson.
Oh.
Yeah, the curly-haired guy.
Yeah.
One of the Scientologists.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
a lot of those kids.
Did you also hear Ron Jeremy? He's got sexual assault allegations. I mean, who saw that coming?
Oh, I thought that was a setup for a joke.
Well, no, I mean, it was.
I know. I was going to say ill-placed.
Ill-placed. Prequels. Prequels. Here's your prequel list of the best prequels in Hollywood.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Red Dragon. Prequel to Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal. No. The new version of the X-Men movies.
Those really aren't prequels.
That's kind of a reboot. Yeah. This one I did not know was a prequel. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It is?
I didn't know the sequence on those.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Can't be mad at Indiana Jones. Those are quality films.
But the second one was the lamest one.
Ooh, I don't know. Temple of Doom?
Yeah, that was the dumbest one.
When they're eating the monkey
brains
and stuff?
The first one and the third one were the best.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe you're right.
Oh, really?
That's what I think.
The Hobbit.
Interesting.
The Hobbit, they're saying, is a prequel.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah.
That movie sucked.
Yeah, well, okay, there you go.
Really long.
Fantastic Beasts, the Harry Potter reboots.
I can't judge.
Yeah, the Purge movies, I've never seen any of them. Paranormal Activity, I've not seen them.
You haven't seen any of the Purge?
No.
Oh,
is that pretty good?
That's great.
Okay, maybe watch
so
some Purge.
It's so bad, it's good.
But they've got a prequel in their storyline somewhere. They're not saying all of the Star Wars, but they're saying
some of them,
and then the Rogue One. But I didn't really get that one.
Oh.
Star Trek from 2009 is a prequel. Now, this one, question for you, would you consider Godfather 2 a prequel? It is both after and before.
No, I wouldn't.
Because it's just flashbacks.
It jumps back.
Yeah, that's what
it
I thought, too.
It goes everywhere, man.
Yeah.
And then by the end, you're back in the prequel.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. That's why I asked if you would consider that a prequel. Monsters University as a prequel to...
Oh, that was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I went and saw that movie in the theaters. I remember thinking, man, I'm old sitting this.
reminder from the fan text line, Indiana Jones Crystal Skulls was the worst.
Oh, yeah.
That
was the third one.
That was the Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He survived the A-bomb by hiding in a fridge.
Yes, whatever. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
Now, is that the one with Mark Wahlberg?
I'm not seeing Mark Wahlberg in
is
that
it
one.
Franco?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that movie's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Franco one?
Yeah, the first one back from the original, and then The Kingsman apparently has...
Oh, wait, the second... Oh, really?
Yeah, Kingsman film...
The original Kingsman is really good.
Yeah.
It's really, like, quirky and
funny. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then apparently there's a prequel to that. So that's that's your list of your 10 best... prequel. So
according
you're right. There's
the
not.
Internet.
There's not a ton. Somebody's saying The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a prequel on here.
Mm. I hold the
people
opinion.
trying to shoehorn Batman Begins, but I call that a reboot. So I'd say no. Mm-mm.
I have the unpopular opinion on this station that's made a couple of people mad that you can't watch. If you've seen Godfather 2, you should not watch Godfather 1.
Wait, what now?
That if you've seen Godfather 2 first, don't watch the first one. It'll ruin it.
Huh.
Because I believe Godfather 1, after watching the second one, sucks.
Mm.
It just pales in comparison.
You know what I did one time?
Back
when they had VHS tapes to rent, the movie Magnolia came on two VHS tapes.
You watch them in reverse order?
I just grabbed the one out of the first one and put it in. And I was like, gosh, this movie's so weird. It just starts. Like, there's
That's
no,
awesome.
And I watched the whole second tape. And then the end credits roll, and I was like, holy crap, I watched the second tape first. So then I went back and watched the first tape. I was like, oh, okay, now it makes a little more sense, even though there were weird frogs and stuff.
Do you remember the movie? Do you remember the movie Go?
Yes.
So the movie Go jumps around all over the place, right?
Yeah.
My buddy worked for the movie theater, and we were like, what movie's playing? He's like, oh, only one movie's playing. So we just went and watched it from the middle. and there was the like champagne room scene in the middle of it. That's where we started watching it. Like, oh, this is great. And then it jumps back and forth and back and forth. So we're like, well, let's watch it from the beginning now. Well, no, but we never were really out of place because the way it jumps around. We watched the champagne room twice and then we were done watching because he could just go and reload the spool and it was fantastic. But that's the best way to watch that movie is just duplicate all the nudity.
That makes me want to do that.
You should purposefully. Do that. You should go and watch Go.
I don't want to watch that movie. I take another movie, watch the second half, and then go back to the beginning and watch.
But you need to find the movie that jumps around in the storyline. Like Pulp Fiction, you could get away with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're way over. Well, baseball's coming back. We'll talk with Jen Ellis about that, and then we'll crap all over it. It'll be fun. We'll do it next. Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back. We're talking about baseball now, we had to go through all of the movie talk there. Sorry that it went so long, but with us, if you weren't with us in the last segment, Jen Ellis has already joined us. She dove in. We started talking about things that she was interested in. She already dove in, so we always bring her in to talk baseball.
Yes.
First of all, did you see that the Portland Pickles... They're going to play.
Yeah. What's happening with that? So, I saw the headline, but I didn't get to read the whole thing.
Let me tell you the Portland Pickles, the Portland Gherkins, and a couple other teams, the Grey Wolves or something else.
Yeah.
The Pickles used to be part of the West Coast League that played Oregon,
like
Washington,
West,
Canada.
Yeah.
Now they have formed the Wild Wild West League, which is all local teams to Portland area. Mm-hmm. So everybody can stay at home. You've eliminated the travel. There's four or five teams, and they're going to start playing soon. And
cool.
They're going to go out there. They're going to start playing in the stadiums in Marion County. And then when Multnomah County hits Phase 2, they'll start playing at Walker Field over at Lutz Park.
Nice.
So, Pickles.
All right.
Who's not excited about that? But the big news this week that I'm sure you read plenty about is Major League Baseball.
Yes.
The owners and the players have agreed they're going to play 60 games in 66 days.
Amazing.
Here are the key dates for you. They will report to training camps. Their summer version of spring training, July 1st, July 23rd or 24th will be opening day 2.0.
Right.
The regular season, as I mentioned, will be 60 games in 66 days. Every team will play the teams in their division 10 times. Mm-hmm. That's 40 games. And then they play the opposing league's closest equivalent geographically.
Right.
So the AL West will play the NL West and so on and so forth.
Right.
They will play each of those teams four times, which will be another 20 games. That's your 60 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I know. It's kind of crazy. It's obviously it's like the shortest season since like the 1800s or something weird like that. And you know, I mean, part of what I love about baseball is the long grind of the season. When it gets towards the end, you're like, oh my gosh, how are they gonna, because if you look at last year, I mean, after 60 games, the Washington Nationals would have never even been in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they just made a charge for it at the end of the season.
And so, worth pointing out here that you're an A's fan, and after every first 60 games in the history of the A's organization, they are out of it.
Exactly.
And then they use the last 100 games to get back in and claw and scratch their way into it in the final week of the season.
Yeah.
They make themselves relevant. So it will be interesting because it is.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It's funny because it's 60 games and everybody's going like, that's still a lot of games.
But
baseball, it's a sprint.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got to hurry up. Yeah, I mean, 60 games I was asking you earlier, like in the break, I just said, if they, from now on, if they go, oh, hey, this is great, only 60 games, let's just do that, and make baseball only 60 game season after this or whatever, would that like bring fans like Will, into it and go, oh, well, there's not that many games to get invested in, so maybe I'll give it a shot, or, all these new rules that they're trying to shorten the games and all that stuff, is it going to bring people like Will into the mix and go, oh, maybe I'll check it out and see what's going to happen with no fans in the stands? Are the pitchers still going to bean the Astros players,
I will still check it out, of course. Yeah. I think this is something that's interesting and, of course, something that's never happened before.
Exactly.
So
it's fun.
And I thought it was really interesting. The one time they played in front of no fans in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
like
trippy.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see, but I don't know.
Probably not get roped in.
I mean, I will say this. If baseball can sustain that and then the NBA has to shut down their bubble league and then the NFL for some weird alternate universe reason.
So if nothing else
start,
is on, you'll be like, okay, I'll watch baseball.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
If there's no bowling or
tennis.
Tennis.
If there's
right.
tennis,
yeah,
that might trump, not watch.
Yeah, that trumps the baseball for you.
Well, my big intrigue with the sprint schedule mm-hmm. that they have going on is you're only playing against nine teams, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So you have a potential that somebody just gets routed early and
yeah,
is,
sure.
is completely out of it. I'm thinking of my Mariners, of course.
Well, but also, too, I mean, like in the last, like if you look at, they did a report of like the last five seasons after 60 games, and there were a couple of seasons where the Mariners would have been in it.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Name a Mariner on the current roster.
Kendall Graveman. That's because he was on the A's. I know him. That's about it.
But yeah, it's
oh, Kyle Seager's still there, isn't he?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
he's there forever.
That gives me a lot of faith. Thank you.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be interesting to see. But you're right, because this is a dumb story, but it just popped in my head. There was a year that I was in Little League, and the first half of the year, our team was terrible. It was like we looked around and going, dude, this was manipulated by parents. Like, we everybody knew each other because we played all the way through, but I think we were like 14 or 15. I think it was senior Little League, but we looked around and went, we're awful. and we're like, we don't have a chance to win any of these games. We were so bad that the sponsor didn't get the jerseys made on time. Like, we were the last team thrown together. So they let us wear the all-star uniforms because that was the only extra uniforms they had. So we wore the Evergreen Little League all-star uniforms. And we won our first, like, 15 games out of like a 30 game season or whatever it was. Maybe it was 10 out of 20. But the first half of the year when we wore the all-star uniforms, we could not lose. They switched jerseys on us and gave us our picket insurance jerseys and we fell apart.
Oh no.
But there's something about momentum where you just get going and you only have 60 games and these players that are used to it. So there may be that team that is a total surprise. The Mariners a couple of years ago were the best team in baseball out of the gate and then they, you know, kind of fell apart. And the other thing that'll be really fun is you get to the trade deadline. It's going to come upon pretty
really
quick.
Fast.
It's August 31st for the trade deadline. They're looking at the end of the season. The start of the season, it's July 23rd. Trade deadline is the 31st of August, and then you're looking at the end of the season being the 27th of September.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
you get that midway point really quick. That's your trade deadline, buyers, sellers, what the hell is going to go on there? And then you meet in the playoffs, and it's like, all right, you haven't seen these guys. You have no idea what to get. So I don't think it will be a permanent change, but I think for a short time, it's going to be really fun. There's a couple little rule changes that are in there, but let's talk about those when we get back.
Okay.
And then I have a question for Will as it pertains to all sports. So let's talk about baseball rule changes and what you would change about your favorite sport, because now is a great opportunity to do that. We'll do that conversation after this Sports Center update. So we're looking at baseball and their return. They've got some new rules that they're going to throw in there. The National League and the American League are both going to have now the designated hitter.
Yes.
They're eliminating all of the pitching changes late in games, all of the clever managerial substitutions. I imagine a reason to save time, which would be in line with the other rule, which is they're going to start extra innings with a runner on base. They're putting a dude at second base to start extra innings. They talked about this a couple years ago, and everybody was pissed about it.
Yeah, I think it's stupid.
Well, it is stupid, so stupid. But baseball, for some reason, has it in their heads that this is the thing.
We need to
try this. Well, I mean, people want shorter games. You know, people aren't tuning in for a three-hour baseball game. They want a two-hour and 50-minute baseball game, so we need to figure out how to shave 10 minutes off of this thing.
You know what it reminds me of? When I was with Coyne, we had to go out and cover this like Little League baseball tournament out in Sherwood, and I didn't realize that, like, once these little kids, I'm saying like 9 or 10, they'd get on first. Like, it was a gimme they'd get to second because, like, once they threw it in, they would just steal.
Yeah.
And the catcher couldn't throw far enough to second. Yeah. So it was, to me, I was like, why don't they just, like, start on second?
Might as well.
Yeah, why don't they, like, if they get on first, then once everybody's set, be like, okay, take your base.
Well, what you do when you're playing shorthanded in, you know, street ball.
Sure. You only have nine people.
Backyard ball. Yeah, well, usually it was like you had four guys or whatever, or wiffle ball, whatever.
Right.
It's double or nothing, man. Come on. It's double or nothing, and that's what they should make it. But anyways, so they're starting with a runner on second base, but this was one of those rules. rules that a couple years ago we were talking about it. Maybe it was ahead of last summer, and I think they tried it in minor league baseball, but it just seems weird.
Yeah.
But for some reason, baseball wants it in there, so they took it as an opportunity to shoehorn in a dumb rule to see if it works.
Like, oh, yeah, let's take this rule from, you know, stick ball in the streets. And
yeah, well, the next I'll have Ghost Runners or something stupid. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
he would have stolen the base, I swear.
Well, the Ghost Runner, he advances it by the gentleman's rules. He only takes one base on a single. He takes two bases on a double. Come on, you know Ghost Runner rules. So here's my question is, are there any rules that you wanted to see them try to sneak into baseball?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, it's COVID-19, so everything's up in the air. Right. The season might not even happen. Will is in that camp, right? So now's the time where you can sneak in these rules you've always wanted to see. Is there anything in baseball?
Well, I mean, the whole thing with, you know, having to follow the protocol of, like, no spitting and no this and that or whatever. I mean,
Do you want baseball to get rid of spitting, Jen?
No. Okay, not saying that, but, you know, I mean, there is an element of it when you are watching, or, I mean, me at least, I get kind of grossed out sometimes when I see the pitchers blow snot in their hands or do the snot rocket. You know, that's gross. I mean, that's just disgusting. But yeah, I don't know.
You don't need to get rid of like the intentional walk or the, you know.
Well, I mean, and then they already shortened that too. They're like, oh, instead of throwing four balls outside, just say four and then just walk them without throwing the four pitches. Yeah. But I mean, they already tried to, shave off 10 minutes of the game there.
Well, let's expand it then to all sports. The NBA is coming back in bizarre fashion. There's going to be, you know, the potential of a augmented NFL season. Will, if you were in charge of things and you could shoehorn in, do you want to see a 4-point line in the NBA bubble?
The NBA, I'm not. I don't know what other rules you could really apply.
Well, the 4-point line is the one that people are talking about, but
I don't know. I'm not crazy about that one. The NFL, I really want to see the onside kick exception.
Yeah.
I want them to do that.
Fourth and 15?
Yeah, I think the 4th and 15 is really cool. I also like the idea of all extra points have to be two-point attempts.
Ooh.
I don't know how that helps with safety, but I just want to see it. Yeah, other than that, I mean, that's really the only rule that right when I heard it, I was like, that is a great idea and they should do that, because I think we did this statistic once that like
the percentage of onside kicks that are successful
is really small. Well, and then winning a game after that is even less.
Yeah, like, yeah. With the lack of a running start, it's almost impossible to get. 503-250-1080, if you could sneak in a rule under the guise of COVID-19, what would it be?
Steroids.
Everybody can use steroids.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a shortened season. Yep. We can't afford to have injuries.
Everybody juice up. Yep. Now.
Everybody. You have 1 month to start your juicing regimen.
I mean, hey, and you know, you watch the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa documentary. I mean, steroids saved
baseball once.
I mean, it can do it again. Maybe. Who knows? You know?
Is that like a double-edged sword kind of thing, though? Yeah. Yeah. It like save baseball, but then.
But then it kills it as well.
Then it kills.
Do either of you remember the all-steroids Olympics from Saturday Night Live?
No.
I remember the thing where the guy's trying to deadlift and his arms are popped.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the exact one. It's Phil Hartman. Yeah, and he's getting ready. He's like, it's all right. He's going for three times the world
record.
Is that
when he rips his arm off?
His arms just tear off and stay on the bar. But yeah, it's just shoulder sockets coming out.
I actually wanted to know, Jen, your opinion of that, because I don't think we got you in for that documentary. Obviously watched it, right?
Which
the Long Gone Summer.
Yes.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on it?
I liked watching it. I was obviously, because there's no baseball and I was like, oh God, I watched something that has baseball in it. Sammy Sosa not ever really answering the question is kind of annoying, but it's kind of like, come on, dude. Not answering the question is answering the question.
Yeah.
We know you did.
Well, I also asked, like, who came out looking better between the two, because they both both kind of look crappy.
Yeah, in the end, it's like, oh yeah, well.
To me, I almost kind of thought Sosa came out looking better,
even though
he kept denying. There was like this little thing behind his eye where he was like, "Look, we all know what happened, but I don't really care."
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't really matter to me. I have all my records.
Well, Sammy Sosa was the one that made it fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sammy Sosa was a showman. I mean, he was out there hopping around and, you know, I mean, just his sprint out to right field. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was entertaining. Mark McGwire has never been entertaining.
No,
I mean,
he's just a big white lump that just hits balls really far.
I was going to call it milk toast, but big white lump is so much better.
Big white lump. I don't know.
It was best described at the end because I think he had one of the last words where he was like, God put me on the planet to hit home runs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's it.
There you go.
There's literally nothing more to Mark McGwire other than he's really pissed at lawmakers and he hits home runs.
That's it.
Yeah. But yeah, Sammy Sosa was like, I can still picture, I was watching the game live, which I didn't watch a ton of Cubs games. I've never been a big Cubs fan. Mm. But I was watching the game live when Sammy Sosa's bat exploded all over the infield. And this was after that summer.
Right.
But like, as he's getting late in his career, his cork bat just explodes all over it. But there's something about the way Sammy Sosa was received by fans and baseball, where he just kind of got a pass.
Yeah.
He just smiled at
you.
Sure,
and just went,
Sammy Sosa. And you go back and you look, and like the most fun thing to do is Will, you can do this because you've probably never done this. Go up and pull up early Sammy Sosa pictures.
Oh, yeah.
From when he was skinny with his Jerry curl.
Was, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, skinny Jerry curl Sammy Sosa is almost as entertaining as new white Sam Sosa.
Is it as entertaining as skinny Barry Bonds with Jerry curls?
I have it better than Barry Bonds with it because Barry Bonds was awesome when he was skinny. Sammy Sosa was nobody when he was skinny.
And then
he was just hanging around on the peripheries of baseball. It was just some guy named Sammy Sosa. You're like, that's a fun name. And then he turns into a juice monster and starts hitting dingers. And he just embraced it.
I think what bothers me about baseball is what that documentary kind of represented, which was like, I feel like they never really got closure with that, like the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of went, meh.
Yeah. The league,
screw it. Whatever.
The league office for baseball, the marketing department, the front offices of individual teams are baseball's worst enemy. I don't think it's the product that they put out on the field as much as it is. Baseball just doesn't know how to handle any
difficult situation.
And
they're doing it again with the Astros. They're like, meh.
Well, they also
exactly.
They did a piss poor job trying to get baseball back from COVID-19. Mm-hmm. They just bickered in public instead of just going, let's all sit down and figure out what the NBA. They went, all right, listen, we can't really pay you guys if you don't play. So we have to get you back in some form or another. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out the best way to do this. Then we'll come out in a united front. We'll figure out the details as we go, but let's just all go out and figure it out. That's what basketball did.
Baseball's
went,
like, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody recommending a home run derby, except instead of extra innings on the text line.
That might be fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Or just like one point if it's infield, 2 points if it lands in the outfield, 3 points for home run. It's like a shootout. Everybody gets one pitch.
Yeah, they're likening it to penalty kicks in soccer.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Exactly. It's penalty kicks. Let's go. And you pitch to your own team.
Each team.
You let your dad pitch to you.
Each team gets 10 swings.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Would you get a pitch like so? Then you'd have to have like a league universal like, just kind of mix.
No, you throw to your own team
like a batting practice.
Pitcher. So this happens in some co-ed softball.
See, I think you'd have to have a guy on staff. You couldn't do your own team because they would, you'd have to make it somehow objective. Because I'm sure there's some way if you had your own pitcher throwing that they could be like, hey, you've got to throw it this certain way so I can hit him every single
time. But that's the idea.
But I would think like you'd want to hire somebody that just goes, look, we're going to pitch it this way every time.
Every time.
We show by science that like you should be able to hit it. You have an equal chance each time.
Unless you pull out a pitching machine. But the element of so this is what happens in co-ed softball. You pitch to your own team in some leagues. We had a media league for Entercom, and that's what you did. And you get some people up there that never played baseball or softball, and you have them trying to swing at a bat. So now you're up there going, oh, man, I got a lot of pressure. This pitch needs to be perfect. And so when it's a guy on your team, the pitcher can freeze. You're pitching to your own team. So you have one of your pitchers trying to throw up the meatball, and you know that Dan likes it on the outside corner. And if you can put it out there high outside, he's going to hit a home run to right field every time, right? But if you miss your spot – Well, then you give it, it's negative for your own hitter as well. It's, you pitched your own team. I'm telling you, Will, I played enough baseball. That's the way it works, because the pitcher then has fallibility and he can screw up.
I'm telling you, Will.
I'm telling
you. Based on my company softball team.
Hey, I played a lot of baseball, my friend. Even when you're trying to throw up a meatball, sometimes you accidentally throw a slider. No, that doesn't happen. But every once in a while, you miss your spot. Even if you're trying to serve up meat.
I am definitely going to pull that.
Please do. Yeah. I said it crystal clear as I could. What to watch is next. So we'll do that next. It's A Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Hello, welcome to What to Watch. This is where we tell you what to watch in sports. Right now, I'm watching the Thorns game. I've had it up on the screen the entire time in here, and it's on right now on CBS. So if you want to watch some live sports and support the Thorns, there they are playing against some North Carolina team called the North Carolinians or something. But yeah, here they are playing right now. Live sports, Will, in your face. This week
it was the goalie for the Thorns.
What's that?
You heard me. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I have never watched the Thorns before, but I'm watching them right now. That's more than you can say.
I've been to one live Thorns game.
Okay.
And I've lived in Portland for 2 years.
I did. When I was in high school, I always supported the girls soccer team in high school. Also, girls volleyball.
I went to a lot of those
games. I kind of feel like with this right now, when like some of these sports are starting to trickle out, that if you didn't really have the intense like for it before,
like, oh my god, I have to watch it because it's live sports. Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes later, you're like, wait, I hate soccer.
Yeah.
Wait, what am I watching?
Here's
this?
Their chance to win over some new fans.
That happened with Korean baseball too. Everybody was like, yeah. Oh, finally sports.
They're it's
like,
fun though. It's really fun to watch. KBO is really fun to watch, Will. Oh my god, it's great.
Oh yeah, you were supposed to give us a KBO report.
Oh my god.
The KBO report. All right, we'll have
to talk about other stuff.
We'll cut into the OSN Classic with the KBO report. People tune in for the football game. It'll be the KBO report. This week I watched Black Klansman. Have you guys seen Black Klansman?
I have. I saw it in theaters. It was really good.
I thought it was good. Topher Grace as David Duke is amazing.
Like good casting.
It really was. The story is insane because it's based on a book and a true story. It is a very good movie. So if you get a chance, it was on, what was it on? Netflix? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was on HBO. But either way, if you can. Okay. If you find Black Klansman, highly recommend it.
Adam Driver really good in that, too.
I thought Adam Driver was okay. Adam Driver.
How dare you?
I don't know how to feel about Adam Driver.
I know, me too.
Sexy hillock.
No, no.
Ugh.
No.
What did you call him?
A hillock.
Well, you know what that is.
It's a large mound.
Yeah, okay. Wouldn't that be a hill?
A big structure.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, what are you watching, Will Darkins?
Let's see.
Are you going to watch any live sports? Golf? Soccer?
No.
Anything?
No.
Well, I don't
None
know.
Of it.
Serbian tennis?
Serbian tennis? Ooh. Oh, gosh. Can't wait.
Just asking. Just asking if anything's piqued your interest yet.
I haven't really been watching too much lately. I've kind of started to tune out of TV now. I'm starting to get into my COVID phase where it's like, I'm like now getting bored of streaming stuff.
Yeah?
Like, it finally happened. I know it happens to everybody at some point, but, like, There's so much that's on there now that last night my wife and I were flipping through and just like,
you watched 45 minutes of Netflix menu?
We were just like, none of this looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is all just,
yeah. I did not binge too much. So now I'm trying to just grab some movies that I wish I would have seen before. So that's why I watched Black Klansman this week, and I'll try to find some more. So if you have recommendations, send them.
The Politician. I just finished the second season of The Politician on Netflix.
Is that pretty good?
It's really good. It reminds me, it has like the feel of like Wes Anderson movies type feel. Really good acting, great.
Is
awesome.
It like kind of cutesy or
no?
Is it more...
it's really fun and
okay. All right.
Yeah, I like
saw
it
that
a lot.
On the start screen.
Yeah,
the
I
Politician.
Like it. It's
really
good.
So
and KBO, yeah, the bat flips and the facial expressions are just amazing.
Perfect. Really no, it's in classic today. Oregon versus Florida State, 2015 Rose Bowl as part of the College Football Playoff. That follows us right now, right here on the Fan. So stick with it.
Woo-woo.
But we are done. I'll be on Dusty and Cam Monday and Tuesday if you want to hear more of me talking about sports.
I'll be
but
at
right
my
now,
house.
We're done. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. But every once in a while, you miss your spot, even if you're trying to serve up meat. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.